Bonjour and welcome. This is the Statewide Conversation with Minnesota State Officials on COVID-19, brought to you by the Ampers Network of Radio Stations. I'm Heidi Holton. I'm live from the KAXC studios on the sunny banks of the Mississippi River in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Thank you for listening in today. Today, we've got Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan joining us to answer the questions that came in this week from you, from listeners around the state. If you didn't get a chance to send or call in your question this week, you can email covid@ampers.org or call 612-562-9895. This is a collaboration of Ampers Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. Lieutenant Governor, thanks so much for being with us again today.
Thanks so much for having me, Heidi.
Well, as you can imagine, we've got a lot to get to today, mainly about vaccines, because there's been some big news this week. But I wonder if you can, I kind of follow what you do during the week, if you could kind of give us an idea of how this week's been for you and some of the things you and the governor have been working on.
Heidi, I think this week has been really traumatic for everyone. Watching the death of yet another Black Minnesotan at the hands of law enforcement, I am devastated that we're here again, and that Dante Wright was killed. And I know that you know, he called his mom right before he died, and George Floyd called out for his mother. And as a mom, I'm holding a lot of this, and I know that many Minnesotans are devastated, and we're experiencing a trauma of going through the Chauvin trial and a trauma on top of this trauma with the loss of Dante Wright. And I think everyone in Minnesota, all Minnesotans, but especially our leaders, should be deeply concerned that Minnesota is starting to develop a reputation as being a place that is not safe for Black men and the Black community. And that that should be our top priority, is figuring out how to address that. So that is just, that has been my week.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot of Minnesotans, they have felt that too. So I don't have the answers, but I know that we need to deeply reform what we've been doing, because it's not working.
Yeah, the way that you explain that is trauma, kind of on top of trauma, then we add to it the pandemic. It's so much to carry, and it, as you said, as mothers, but as mothers of Black men, I can't imagine. And it's a tough time right now. Confusion, anger. I was hoping, kind of, as we moved into vaccine time in the world, things would start to kind of change in the feeling of how everything had been so divided, and it continues to be tough.
I think that's right, and I think, you know, as we are 14 months into this pandemic, I do think that people are starting to feel hopeful, and I am still hopeful about the vaccine, but I know that, you know, there's a trauma response in so many individuals and so many people right now, and I just want people to know that I feel that too. And, you know, I'm just with folks in that, but we have a tremendous amount of work to do, to rebuild our communities and to create spaces that are truly safe for everyone. And we are not there yet.
You've been working on kind of addressing vaccine hesitancy, you and the governor. What are ways that you're hoping that you can get to people that maybe, you know, don't realize the vaccine is out there for them, or, you know, try to do something differently so that we start to make sure that more and more people get that vaccine?
So, you know, one of the ways, Heidi, is, you know, getting vaccinated myself and spreading the word that way. I think, you know, that that's one of the best ways to overcome hesitancy is when you know someone who's been vaccinated. And so we've seen that that's been a really, really powerful tool. I am so grateful just personally as a member of WIDERS for the work that my tribe and so many tribes across the state and really the country have done. But you see it, right? You see when, you know, elders are getting vaccinated and aunties and family members that it becomes easier, right, to know that this is a way that I'm protecting my family and my community, and folks feel more comfortable about it. You know, I went, I think I told you that I went down to Worthington, and we have a partnership with the state with Unidos, which is an organization that is deeply embedded in the Latinx community. There's a young organizer there, Jessica Velasca, who is incredible, who literally is going door to door having conversations with community about the vaccine and asking people to get vaccinated. There was a site that was there for 2 days, and they had 22% of the folks who walked in the door. It was word of mouth. And so I think that that just shows how powerful it is when we've got credible messengers from communities themselves who are sharing this with folks. I think our FEMA site at the State Fairgrounds, which is based on folks who live in communities with a high social vulnerability index. You know, I toured the site this week with the governor and just had some conversations with people who are there. And I said, you know, why did you sign up? And they're like, it was so easy. And I heard about it, or, you know, my mom told me about it. And when you walk in the door, there were 20 different languages that are available for folks through interpreters. And a big sign that says, you know, no immigration status needed, right? That no one's going to check. And I think those are the ways of making people feel welcomed and comfortable in their own language. And, you know, we are getting ready to launch our mobile vaccination units as well, where we'll partner with folks in community and go to a community-based org or community clinic where people feel comfortable, and we'll spread the word that way. And I think that is, you know, that is what we're doing. And, you know, it's not necessarily as much about hesitancy, I think, as about getting the vaccine to people, right?
Yeah.
Trying to remove as many barriers as possible for people to access the vaccine. So bringing it to their community, I think, is one of the most powerful things that we can do.
We, as a staff, I think we have 12 people who work here. We've all been vaccinated now, and we're getting close to that 2 week after it where we're going to be able to be around each other in studio. We've been, you know, figuring out, as everyone else does, one co-host is on Zoom and figuring out how to do it safely over this entire time. But we've started, at first we weren't talking about that we were vaccinated because, you know, there was ways we had to do a lot of work to figure out how can we get in here, and you felt a little bit of guilt, like I got mine so early compared to other people. And now I've been trying to talk about it on air as much as I can that I got the vaccine. And
yeah.
I'm also been kind of sneaky, to be honest, with people in my life that I'm shocked haven't gotten it yet. I start asking other people, hey, will you call this person and just ask them if they got their shot?
Good organizing tactics, Heidi. That's right. No, I think that matters.
Yeah, to me, it's really important when I'm seeing media organizations, say print magazines, newspapers, if they are showing kind of good citizenship, that they don't have photos of people without masks during the pandemic, all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. I just think it's really important in how we present ourselves now, I think, as media and trying to get through this thing.
That's right. I think that's totally right. And now that everyone who is 16 and above is eligible, everybody's in. So
yeah.
let's make this happen.
Yeah. So let's move on to some of the questions that came in this week from our listeners. We heard from Krista. She said, I'm confused by the news of Johnson & Johnson. I work hard to find factual information, and I listen to the show each week. And part of that's part of how I try to get the actual facts. She said, a few weeks ago, the Department of Health's Chris Ayersman said that there had not been one death that was caused by a vaccine. Is that untrue now? And how do you think this is going to affect those who are already hesitant, like my extended family, who think now that they have been proven correct?
So we think, you know, Chris, I appreciate your question. And it is very likely that one death in a woman with cerebrovenous sinus thrombosis, or CVST, will be attributable to the vaccination. So there will have been one death due to vaccination in the U.S. In Minnesota, there have been no deaths associated with any adverse response to the vaccine. And, you know, despite these very concerning cases, adverse reactions are very rare, and the COVID-19 vaccines are very safe. There have been no reports of any serious adverse responses to the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines. But it's important to note when we sort of think about the scale of this, right? There have been more than 6.8 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine administered in the United States as of April 12th. And more than 198 million doses between Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. So if you look at the risk of COVID as a virus, 1 in 10 Americans will have been infected with COVID. 1 in 558 Americans infected with the disease have died. And so those risks are much higher than anything that is associated with the vaccine itself. So we continue to encourage everybody to get the vaccine. You will be much better protected, and there's a less of a risk to your family, friends, and community if you are vaccinated. And Heidi, I'm sure that you've seen just folks talking about, the risks of blood clots and other things with, you know, birth control, for example. There are risks, but I think it is ultimately the benefits, and the rate of the people who have been impacted are very low comparatively to the impact of the COVID virus itself.
We're talking to Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. This is our statewide conversation on COVID-19. You can send your questions to covid@ampers.org. Now, some of these questions we got, they're kind of repetitious, but I think the information needs to be repeated as well. So I'm going to do some of those. You may have already addressed this. But Jay from the Twin Cities wrote to us and he said, I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine 5 weeks ago. Should I be worried? Am I protected from COVID?
So the data shows that most vaccinated people had a robust immune response 15 days after getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, with a significant amount of protection reached after 29 days. So the six women who developed the adverse response, the CVST, developed their symptoms between 6 and 13 days after vaccination, with a median time being 8 days. So we're asking people who have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to watch for these symptoms for 3 weeks post-vaccination. At this point, at 5 weeks, you are well beyond the time frame of concern and should be protected against COVID at this point. The biggest thing that, you know, that I want to say, Jay, is thank you for getting vaccinated. I know that this can bring up some anxiety to hear about side effects and adverse responses, but this is how the process is supposed to work. And, you know, as the CDC started to hear about these adverse reactions, they put on a pause so that, you know, more can be studied and looked into about it. And I think that that's important. But we also are continuing to provide the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines right now in Minnesota. And we need folks to be protected against COVID, and we need to get the herd immunity. And so it is your turn, Minnesota. If you're 60 plus, please take that vaccine.
Another question related. I got a terrible headache, she said, and felt nauseous after getting my first dose of the Pfizer vaccine. My second dose is happening early next week. Should I be worried about a possible blood clot with this one? Also, if I get sick, should I call my doctor? The last time I just wrote it out and I felt better after about 48 hours. And I'm hoping I don't even get sick this time. Fingers crossed.
So it is very common to have symptoms of fatigue and fever, muscle aches following the vaccine. And I had a fever and muscle aches, and the only way that I could describe, some of my muscle pain, I felt like my legs were like big hams, like they were super heavy. And then, I took some Tylenol and kept drinking water, and eventually those symptoms went away. But having those symptoms means that the vaccine is working. And although it's more common to have those symptoms after the second dose, not the first like you did, it does happen. So experiencing some transient symptoms is expected and shows that, your immune system is responding. And that's a good thing. So if you don't have any symptoms, it doesn't mean that your immune system didn't respond. People respond differently to the vaccine, but it is okay. And so just encourage you to monitor those symptoms and to take good care of yourself, to rest, give yourself an opportunity to just, maybe be down for a day. The other thing that I would say is there has not been any evidence of reports of the rare blood clots with the Pfizer vaccine. So that's not an issue for you, and I wouldn't be worried about it.
My coworker described her side effects from the vaccine as having cement shoes.
Or ham legs.
And probably for you, since you're busier, you've probably been a busy person your entire life, but than you've ever been before. I kind of looked at it last week when I did have some symptoms after my second. I kind of need the rest anyway, so I just tried to take as much as I could.
That's right. I did a little Netflix thing last week, so that was good.
Yeah. Here's another vaccine question that came in this week. They said, how will pausing the J&J vaccines affect the total number of vaccines available to people in Minnesota? Is it going to slow down delivery for the people who have been patiently waiting for their turn?
So, it's important to know that we have Moderna and Pfizer still in the state. And that we know that Minnesotans are doing a phenomenal job of getting the vaccine when it's their turn. We know that there is some vaccine hesitancy to overcome, but we're not quite there yet. But the decision made by the CDC and the FDA to temporarily pause the administration of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was out of an abundance of caution. It's important to note that, again, there's only been 6 incidents out of almost 7 million people, and we have no reports of any similar reactions in Minnesota out of the 184,000 people who have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine here. And we'll just mention that Governor Walz received that vaccine, and Commissioner Malcolm also did. So we still have at least 177,000 doses to administer in Minnesota this week between the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, and we'll continue to lead the nation in getting shots in arms. So we want Minnesotans to feel safe and comfortable when they receive their vaccine, which is why I think the transparency here is so important. This is how the process is supposed to work, and we're going to continue to look to the CDC and to the FDA to provide guidance on how to proceed with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. But I will just say we've got lots of Moderna and lots of Pfizer, and folks should keep signing up.
We had an email from a listener this week who said, experts have talked about how it is a race between getting people vaccinated and the rate in which the variants are spreading. Which is winning right now? The vaccine or the variants?
So, I would like to think that we are winning. In the 65 and over population, for those who've received the vaccine, the rate of infection is very low. And that's super exciting because that tells us that the vaccine is working. Minnesota is fifth in the nation for senior vaccinations, with 84.4% of folks having received one dose and 77% having received two doses. As of April 14th, 123.9 million Americans have received at least one dose of the vaccine, and this is all super wonderful news. However, at the same time, we are seeing increases in the number of cases that we see each day in hospitalizations, and they are in younger people who are being hospitalized and in ICU admissions. We're very concerned about this and attribute it to the widespread circulation of the variants in Minnesota. So we are pleased at vaccination rates, but we know that we also can't let our guard down in the need to keep masking, washing our hands, and social distancing, the same things that are going to protect you, from the original version of COVID are the same things that will protect you now with these variants.
We also heard from a listener this week from central Minnesota who said, I have a small workplace, three or four people, especially since many people are continuing to work from home, and it isn't open to the public. We have all been vaccinated now and have decided that we can go without masks, even though it feels very strange. Does that seem okay to you?
So federal guidance and our state requirements for face coverings haven't changed for the workplace, even following vaccination. Minnesota's OSHA workplace safety consultation can provide more detailed advice if that is helpful to you in your workplace. I'm just going to nerd out for a minute and give you the phone number there, which is 651-284-5060, 651-284-5060. Unless an exception applies, workers are required to wear face coverings at all times when they're indoors and when outdoors in situations where social distancing cannot be maintained or when specific industry guidance has stricter requirements. For social gatherings, the CDC guidance is that fully vaccinated people, that means 2 weeks after your final dose, are able to gather in small groups with others who are fully vaccinated without wearing masks or social distancing. So we are still learning how vaccines will affect the spread of COVID-19. So outside of social gatherings, we still ask that you wear a mask when you were previously were required to do so before receiving the vaccine. And again, you should also be wearing masks and distancing whenever interacting with people who are not vaccinated and in public places.
Another question that came in this week said, what do you say to someone who has completely supported all the safety measures since day one, but is now becoming very skeptical and is just done with it all? If a citizen wants a vaccine, they're now able to get one, yet we still require masks. What is the point of getting a vaccine if we can't take off our masks?
Oh, so I know everyone is tired of a lot of things. But it's tired of COVID. So I would say to someone who has supported all the safety measures since day one, thank you. And I need you to dig deep and keep going. The vaccines are highly affected, and I am so glad to hear that you are fully vaccinated. If you have been fully vaccinated for COVID-19, it has been at least 2 weeks since your final dose of the vaccine, so enough time for your body to develop immunity. You have good protection against illness for yourself. However, we are still learning how vaccines affect the spread of COVID-19. So we still ask that you wear a mask when you previously were required to before receiving the vaccine. And the CDC guidance is that you can gather with a small group of other fully vaccinated people without masks or social distancing. So that is a good thing. And I'm going to look forward to doing that with my mom and giving her a great big hug. I will be fully vaccinated on Monday. You can also visit one household of low-risk, unvaccinated people without masks or social distancing. And I know that it feels like a small change after a year of sacrifice, but we are so close to the other side of this pandemic. And I know that, for me, I just keep looking forward to being able to give my mom a hug and to spend some time with her and have dinner at her house. And I know that it's hard and there's fatigue, but especially as COVID cases and hospitalizations again increase here in Minnesota, likely driven by variants that spread more easily, we need to continue to keep up with measures like masking and distancing. And, you know, Heidi, one side effect of wearing a mask for the last 14 months is, knock on wood, I haven't gotten a cold. And so, you know, there are sort of other bright spots, I think, here too, of just knowing that, you know, these masks are also working and protecting us against other stuff. But ultimately, once we get onto the other side of this pandemic, we can take off those masks. But until we know how these variants spread, we just got to keep at it.
We had another question this week. Said, I read that Moderna says that they should have a booster shot ready by the fall. Is it a sure thing that people will need booster shots?
So, you know, I think we're in this moment where, you know, we are still learning about COVID and about the vaccines themselves. But, you know, at this point, we have about 6 months of post-vaccination data, and we're continuing to evaluate the duration of protection. It's, you know, it's very likely that we may need to get boosters for a vaccine to both boost our immune responses and to provide protection against newly identified variant strains. But here's the deal. You know, this isn't uncommon for vaccines. We get booster vaccines every year for viruses like the flu, or every decade for tetanus. And, you know, for parents of small kiddos, you know that, you know, you need to bring your kid in for vaccinations and that there are boosters along the way. So, you know, I think that it's not uncommon. And you know, right now our focus is on getting everyone that first and second dose, and you know, we will determine where to go from there. But I think the message is, like, don't freak out if we need boosters. This is just part of how vaccines work.
You know, when we started these conversations a year ago, often at the end I would ask you about what you're watching on Netflix. I think everybody was kind of aware of, like, we've got to do some different things to keep ourselves entertained because life was suddenly so different. But you mentioned you watched some Netflix last week. Any movies, TV, music that's keeping you going in the last month or so?
Oh, geez, Heidi, this is when I get so embarrassed. So I have been taking a trip back to the 90s and have been watching old episodes of Felicity.
I was gonna guess, but I thought maybe you'd say My So-Called Life, but Felicity,
nope,
that makes
nope,
sense.
Nope. Okay. Yep. I was on my college journey at the same time that Felicity was, so I was like, as the world is a hectic place, I am going to get back to to that as I can shut my brain off a little bit. But really, you know, we have a lot of movie nights with my daughter and spend a lot of time watching Disney movies. That's our favorite and a time when we can just all be together. But as the weather is warming up, we're spending so much more time outside. That's one of the ways that we care for ourselves. So I think it's, you know, also listening to, I found that throwing on a little bit of D-Light and Groove Is in the Heart when I first wake up in the morning is a really good way to try to set a hard day off on the right foot. So dance music never fails to try to, you know, improve my mood.
You know, I saw something about this rewatching of things, you know, that it actually has been almost a tonic during this time and that it's good for your mental health because it does bring you back to that time when it first came out. And sometimes you think, well, I should be watching new things out there, but there's a reason we're drawn to that.
That's right. There's a little bit of comfort there. But I would also tell you, 20 some years later, my perspective on some of the choices that Felicity made have, you know, has changed.
All right, we'll get into that at some point, maybe through email. That's Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. We thank you so much for your time today. Stay safe and talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Heidi. Take care.
This broadcast, a collaboration of community radio stations throughout the state through AMPRS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities, and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. You can listen to this full conversation, KAXE.org. And if you'd like to send in a question for next week, you can call 612-562-9895 and leave a message or email COVID@ampers.org. I'm Heidi Holton for KAXE, KBXE. Stay safe and thanks for listening.